Boker Tov, everybody. These are very uncertain times, obviously, but the importance of Medina Yisrael and Yom HaTzmaut, I think, are unchanged, and it's important for us to remember, even though everything that's going on now is making our lives crazy, that the miracle of Medina Yisrael is still very, very, very important and very relevant to all of our lives. What we're going to do in the next couple minutes is go through a number of sources that discuss the idea of, number one, whether halachically it is permissible and why to make a Yom Tov, to make a special Jewish religious holiday for Yom HaTzmaut. That's number one. And number two, to understand a little bit more of exactly what the reason halachically for that holiday is. Meaning, it's one thing to say, well, of course we should celebrate Yom HaTzmaut because it's a national holiday. It's our Independence Day. For those of you who come from America, of course, we know we have an American Independence Day. So this is an Israeli Independence Day. What's so bad about that? But when we're talking about it from a halachic perspective, it becomes a little bit more complex because we know that we can't just simply institute a new holiday whenever we want on the calendar. We have Pesach, we have Sukkot, we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Chanukah, we have Purim, but we don't normally have the authority ourselves to simply decide we want to make a Jewish holiday and then decide that we want to celebrate and to say Hallel and do all sorts of other things that we wouldn't necessarily do. So the question is, halachically, what is the basis for this holiday? And do the things, the events that happened that caused us to institute Yom HaTzmaut, is that halachically significant enough to be able to make a religious holiday out of it in addition to a national holiday? So that's the question. So we're going to start with a couple of sources that have to do with the idea of making a Jewish holiday in contemporary times, and then talk a little bit more about the significance of Yom HaTzmaut and Medina Yisrael, which will be a bit of a continuation of what my wife spoke about a couple minutes ago. And at the end, if we have time, maybe we'll do a short video clip which illustrates some of the points that we're talking about. What I'm going to do now is to, I'm going to share the screen. I think that my source sheet, if you have it, it was already posted on the website or somewhere that you can see. The first source here is a commentary called the Pri Chadash. Pri Chadash lived a couple hundred years ago, most of the time in Amsterdam. He was asked the following question. If you look at the source, source number one, Yesh k'tzat yechidim b'dorenu, ze sha'al yidei shiru lahem nisim, kavu bo tam yamim, Yom Tov l'dorot. There are some individuals in our generation who had a miracle that took place to them with that the miracle happened to them. And because of that, they established special days of celebration, a Yom Tov for future generations, for their descendants. V'chein b'mitzrayim, od hayom. In his time, he says, even in Egypt, ira lahem nes gadol, there was a great miracle. Shekavu oto yom mishtev simcha l'dorot, for which they established that day, the day on the calendar of the miracle, as a day of celebration for future generations. The Gam B'Tshuat Maharam El Shaker, one of the other Achronim, the Maharam El Shaker, also discusses this idea that when a miracle takes place to individuals or even for a community, that you can actually make a day of celebration, a Yom Tov, to celebrate that miracle in future years. Meaning that in order to thank Hashem for the great kindness that he did for you, so you can actually make a day on the calendar, the day that the miracle took place, and say, this day, we are going to celebrate what took place and thank Hashem for the miracle. Now, the Pri Chadash himself actually disagrees with the idea, meaning he mentions that people did it. He himself says, I don't think that this should be allowed. He says, we can't do that anymore after the time period of Chazal and after the end of the Second Temple period, where they used to do this very frequently. The Pri Chadash says, in our times, I don't think that this is legitimate. We can't go and make new days of celebration of a Yom Tov in our times. And therefore, he says that you cannot do that. However, there are many other Achronim that say that you are actually allowed to do it. And the Magen Avram, if you're familiar with him, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law by Rav Yosef Karo, and the Mishnah Brura as well, the Chafetz Chaim in his famous work In source number two here, so the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes the opinions that say that you are allowed to. If you look at source number two, it says, Yecholim b'nei ir l'tzakeim b'askama u'bacharam aleihem v'alabayim achareihem la'asot purin b'yom sh'naaseh bones. The people in a city can institute with the consent of the leaders and choose that for themselves and for their descendants to make a day of Purim on the day that the miracle took place. Now, this is very interesting, okay? We know that Purim is the holiday that we celebrate in Adar to commemorate the miracle that took place in Shushan. What the Mishnah Berurah is basically saying, based on these commentaries, is that you can make for yourself a mini Purim, a private Purim. That's what he's calling it, a private Purim. There's one famous Purim they had in the city of Frankfurt where a miracle took place in Frankfurt in Germany. And they called that Purim Frankfurt, the Purim of Frankfurt. And the Mishnah Berurah is saying every city, every community can make their own private Purim for a miracle that took place for their community. And they can celebrate it the same way that we celebrate Purim. Maybe not with the same types of institutions, meaning we wouldn't necessarily read a Megillah. We wouldn't necessarily say that everybody has to get drunk. But we can say that everybody has the opportunity to celebrate in whatever particular way that community decides in order to commemorate the miracle. So the Mishnah Berurah is essentially saying we don't hold like the Pri Chadash, which opposed this practice, but rather like the Maharam al-Shaker and the Magen Avraham and others who say that it's permissible to make a holiday for a miracle that takes place for that community. That's source number two. We'll take do one or two more sources, and then if anybody has any questions or comments, you can share them then before we go on. If you look at source number three, this is even a little bit more contemporary, the Abia Omer. The Abia Omer is Rav Ovadia Yosef. Rav Ovadia Yosef, we all know, passed away a couple years ago, the head of one of the heads of the Sephardic community in Israel, one of the greatest poskim of our time. Rav Ovadia also has a whole tshuva, a whole responsum dedicated to the question of Yom HaAtzmaut, and specifically saying Hallel. We're not going to talk about Hallel so much this morning, just for lack of time, maybe a brief summary. But in passing, basically, he discusses the question of whether you can make a Yom Tov for a miracle. And he says the same thing in source number three, Sof Tavar HaKol Nishma, at the end of the day, this is what we have heard. It's a play on words from the last pasuk in, the second to last pasuk in Kohelet, in Ecclesiastes. Shetzivur Yached Shenaseh L'Hanayis, that if you have an individual or a community, where a miracle happened to them, Yecholim l'kov'o l'yom mishteh v'simcha l'odot l'Hashem yitvarach al nisav al niflotav imanu. They're allowed to institute a day of celebration and rejoicing to thank Hashem for the miracles and the wondrous things that he did for us. V'anir l'ani adati katati. And he says, this is what I think, my humble opinion, this is correct. Meaning, even though, as we know today, there are many in the more Haredi community that do not accept the possibility of making a religious holiday for a miracle in our times, Rav Ovadia says, I believe that for this type of thing, you are allowed to make a miracle, make a day of celebration to celebrate a miracle, both for an individual as well as for a community. And as we'll see, he feels as well, even for the entire nation, not even just for one community or one country, but even for the entire Jewish people, if the matter merits it, meaning if the miracle is big enough, so then you can make a celebration, a Yom Tov for everybody. So Rav Ovadia also holds like the opinions that say that you're allowed to make a Yom Tov. And if you look at source number four, the Pnine Halacha, Rav Eliezer Melamed, one of the contemporary religious Zionist rabbis, the author of the series Pnine Halacha, which you may have heard of, so he also has a whole section about Yom HaAtzmaut. It's all available online. If you search in Hebrew, Pnine Halacha Yom HaAtzmaut, you can find his whole discussion. And here's one little excerpt. He says, V'kach katav Agon HaGadol Rav Meshulam Roth. This is one of the great poskim of the previous generation who lived in Bnei Brak, but he was actually, in certain respects, he was quite Tzioni. And one of his most well-known tshuvot has to do with Yom HaAtzmaut and Hallel. And he says in that tshuva, this day, the 5th of Iyar, which was decided as a holiday by the government and by the people that serve in the Knesset, which are the representatives of the majority of the, basically of the state, of the residents of the state of Israel, Berov Gedolei HaRabanim, and the majority of the great rabbis. Again, this is fascinating. He was not specifically Tzioni, but he said at his, in his time in 1948, the majority of rabbis actually agreed that Yom HaTzmut should be a special day, L'chug Oto B'chol HaAretz, to celebrate it across the land and now in the diaspora as well. Zecher L'nei Shal Tshuatenu V'Cheruteinu, as commemoration of the miracle of our salvation and our freedom. Mitzvah La'asoto Simcha V'Yom Tov V'Lomar Halel. There's a mitzvah to make it a day of rejoicing, a day of Yom Tov, and to say Halel. So again, we're not going to get so much into the Halel question, but you see here, he certainly felt that that saying Halel is absolutely something which can be done. So again, we won't focus on that right now. But what we see from here is that many of these great poskim basically agreed with the idea that you can make a special day, a special Yom Tov of celebration, even today's times, for a miracle, to commemorate a miracle. And we see that many of them today say that you can do so specifically about Yom HaTzmut. So we're going to see in a second, we've already probably already familiar with this a little bit, but just see some sources inside to discuss some of the greatness of Yom HaTzmut specifically. Before we go on, does anybody have any questions they would like to share or comments they'd like to make? You can either do it by unmuting yourself. I think everybody can unmute. If not, maybe David can allow everybody to unmute for just a second. Otherwise, you can just write in the chat box. Okay, now I see a question here. Why is it that the rabbis shifted? It seems that no longer many rabbis to be supportive of celebrating. Okay, now I understand the question. So I think Devorah's question is like this, that at the time, at least what I described from Rav Roth and also Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, if you're familiar with the Torah Shlema, which is a whole series on the Chumash, basically. So he also writes that in that time, in 1948, they had a flag, I think, on the top of the Yeshivat Panovich, and many in the Haredi world supported Yom HaTzmut. And today, it seems like that's not the case anymore. That's a good question, why that happened. I think it's a combination of a number of factors. I can't be sure, but I would guess that number one, they see that the government today is not necessarily always supportive about every aspect of Jewish life of the Haredi population. That's number one. But the Panovich flag still goes up every year. Is that true? I know that it happened in 1948. I did not know that it still happens today, and I'm not sure. Are you sure that that's correct? Okay, if you're right, then it's an amazing thing. I don't know that it's really true. I feel like some of the people there might take it down right away and start throwing bottles or throwing stones or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I would think. But okay, so again, they didn't make it up today. Okay, very interesting. That's fascinating. And that started in 1948. And Rav Kasher writes about that in his in one of his books. I think the idea is, again, that they've seen what the Israeli government has done over the past 50 to 70 years or so. And not all of them are supportive of the way that the government treats the religious population and the Haredi population in Israel, both in terms of the army, and in terms of other things. Again, this can be discussed more at some point. That's number one. Number two, I think that because of all the problems in the state today, because we don't have the final redemption, the state is not always run al pi halacha. So I think that a lot of the people in the population have lost sight of the major miracle, which we'll talk about more in detail in just a minute, that took place in 1948, meaning that in 1948, and by the way, also in 1967, the Six-Day War, people that actually lived through it appreciated how great a miracle it actually was. They understood what it meant to go from being occupied by the British and all the things they were not allowed to do to today's time, when basically the Jewish state runs itself. We have a Jewish government with all of its problems. They realized how much of a miracle that is. Today, it seems like some of that has been lost. Again, this is a larger discussion, which we don't really have time for now. Everybody has sort of gotten in the way, I think, of some of the positive points, which they saw very clearly in 1948 and 67. That's my opinion. Again, there's a lot more to talk about. If we want to discuss this some other time, we can discuss it afterwards. The question here in the chat box about saying Halel with a bracha. So this we're not going to focus on so much now. Let me just deal with the rest of the shir. If we have any extra time at the end, we can try to talk about it. The bottom line about Halel with a bracha is basically that it's a major, major machloket, whether you should say Halel at all, and number two, whether you should say it with a bracha. My personal opinion, my personal practice is to say hallel without a bracha. Many, many people say you can say hallel with a bracha. And some people say that you don't, that you shouldn't say hallel at all. Now, again, the halachic sources for that are very complex, which maybe next time we can give a share. Next year, we'll talk about that, God willing. If you're interested, there are plenty of articles online that you can find about this topic. I can recommend a number of them. I don't think I'll have time to put them in the chat box, so just Google in English or in Hebrew, hallel with a bracha on Yom HaTzmaut, and you can find some very, very good articles about it. Essentially, the question that I'm focusing on is the following. I want to say that basically, regardless of your practice of saying hallel with a bracha or not saying hallel at all, which again, there are legitimate poskim that take all sides of the question, whatever you do has a legitimate halachic basis. But it's not so simple to say that you can do it, but definitely room to say that you could say hallel, hallel with a bracha, without a bracha, or not say hallel. My point is that I think we have to remember, based on what we're saying, that it's important to thank Hashem and to celebrate regardless of what you hold about saying a hallel. Even if you don't say hallel, whoever doesn't say hallel, people in the Haredi world that don't say hallel, there's still room to say, and important reason to say, that we should celebrate the miracle of Medina Yisrael, or Eretz Yisrael in a modern form, whether it be by having a barbecue in Yom HaTzmaut, whether it be by not going to learn, whether it be by some other aspect. There are many ways we can celebrate, and the important thing is to thank Hashem for the miracles that have taken place. So the next part of the shiur is to discuss what exactly are those miracles that have taken place. My wife discussed this very briefly in her introduction before, and I want to discuss it a little bit more now by basically showing that in terms of Eretz Yisrael today, even if you do not agree with the ideas of Medina Yisrael, meaning even if you think that the state of Israel is the worst thing that ever happened to Judaism, okay, I don't take that approach, obviously, but there are some that do. So the Satmar Rebbe has a very long discussion about how the state of Israel is what he calls the Maaseh Satan. It's the work of the Satan. It's the Satan who's trying to tempt us to take what the state of Israel has to offer and to use it when he believes it's absolutely forbidden. I see now a question about live music in the chat box. We're not going to get into that now, but the same thing is true. It's a machloket whether you can listen to live music on Yom HaTzmaut. Many poskim that celebrate Yom HaTzmaut say that you can, and some say that it's better not to, meaning some say that even if you do celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, it's still better to not waive the restrictions of Sfira, because the restrictions of Sfira are still in place. So either way you follow, there is room to say what you're saying is legitimate. One of my jobs that I think Zmira mentioned is I edited the English Tzurba Mirabanan series. So we have an essay coming out for the next volume in another week or two about this topic specifically. If you're interested, you can email Zmira in another week or so about it. I think, yes, somebody asked about the shiurim being posted on the OU site. I believe so. Yeah, I think they're all being recorded. You can ask David about that. I'm assuming that David's recording all of them. You can listen to them afterwards. And I can also post one or two links on the chat box afterwards. Essentially, so again, getting back to our question, a machloket about live music on Yom HaTzmaut. Again, if you want, you can ask me afterwards for more information. I also wrote an article about this topic about 10 years ago. If you look at some of these sources here, let me share the screen again. Let me see if I can do this here. So essentially what the prophecies say is that we are living through miraculous times. Take a look at source number 5. Okay. Yechezkel Perek Lamed Vav. So it says here, Ko amar Hashem Elokim b'yom tari etzcha mikol avonoteichem. So he says basically that the land was desolate, and then in the future times, Hashem will rebuild the cities, rebuild all the desolate places. V'yamru ha'aretz helazu ha'neshama ha'itaki gan Eden v'harim ha'charebot v'neshamot v'nerasot v'tzirot yashavu. People will say, is this the land that was desolate and now has become like a Garden of Eden? And the destroyed cities and desolate cities, v'tzirot yashavu, are now living in fortified ways. Okay, I'm sorry, yeah, unfortunately, the internet connection here is only good if I leave the door open. Somebody wrote about scaring my kids. I have to leave the door open, unfortunately, a little bit in order for the internet connection to work well. Maybe next time we'll do it by calling it by phone. I apologize about that. Anyway, so in any case, so he says basically, Chezkel is saying this is an amazing thing that what's going to happen in the future is that is that everybody's going to see that the desolate land has become, is blossoming again, is blooming again. And all the nations around you will know that I have built up the places that are destroyed. I have planted in the places that were desolate. I am Hashem that has spoken and I have done. And if you continue in source number 6 from the prophet Zechariah, a similar idea. Vayidvar Hashem tzvakot leimor. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot. Kineti litzion. I have literally kineti kana means zealous, to be zealous, but it means Hashem is telling us that I have basically taken my zealousness and used it for tzion, for Zion. V'chema gedola kineti. I have a large amount of not just anger. Chema literally means anger, but a strong zealousness and intenseness for Tzion. I have returned to Tzion, and I am living and dwelling among Yerushalayim. V'nikra Yerushalayim yira emet, and Yerushalayim will be called the city of truth. V'har Hashem tzvakot har kodesh, and the mountain of Hashem, the mountain of holiness. Hashem says, "Oh, Yeshu zekirim zekirot yerchavod Yerushalayim," that the elderly, the men and the women, will yet again sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. Yish mishanto biadom erov yamim, and people with their mishanto on their leaning on their sticks or whatever, who are of age, who are elderly, older in age, will be able to come back to Yerushalayim. Rechavot ha'er yimalu yoladim yiladot, and the streets of the city will be filled again with children, girls and boys, misachakim rechavot, playing in the city streets. So this is an amazing, amazing prophecy here, which we know today in our times has totally come true again. Unfortunately, maybe the last couple of weeks a little bit less so, where today everybody's inside most of the time and less people on the streets, and it's probably safer to be inside your house. But overall, in the past 70 years, and hopefully very soon we'll come back to this even in our times, the fulfillment of these prophecies of the land blossoming and the cities being rebuilt and people, elderly and children in the streets, an amazing thing. And this, if you look at source number 7, the Radak points out here, is exactly the prophecy for our times. The Radak says, Zota Parsha, Nechama Lati. This is a consolation in the times of Zechariah. In his time, it's consolation for them for the future. The Imot HaMashiach, for the days of Mashiach, the Mechemet Gog u'Magog, in the war of Gog u'Magog, which we won't go into now, Shevel Yerushalayim, where Gog comes to fight against Yerushalayim, Ba'az HaKana Ba'avura, and then I will basically have this zealousness, I will fight for them, the Chema G'dolah Shluch Al Kol Agayim, I will spill my wrath and my anger on all the nations, Ha'bayim Allah, that come to fight against Yerushalayim. And we've seen this to be true in our times. Whether Gog u'Magog has already happened or not is a good question. It's not so clear. Maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it did. But either way, we see many of these prophecies coming true. And if we continue here in sources 8 and 9, we'll see here as well as an additional reinforcement of the same idea. If you look at source 8, which I have the English here as well. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall meet the reaper and the treader of the grapes, meaning to make wine, and one who carries the seed, the planter. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. I will return the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild desolate cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. Unitatim alad matam, and they shall make gardens and eat their produce. Unitatim alad matam, veloyinat shu od, me'alad matam asher natati lahem amar Hashem Elokecha. I will plant them on their land, and they shall no longer be uprooted from upon their land that I have given them, said the Lord your God. So again, an amazing prophecy which we see coming true today. The land is being planted, okay? We have tons of fruit in Eretz Yisrael, which again, my wife spoke about a little bit before. And the Gemara in source number 9 quotes a similar pasuk, which says, "Amar Rabbi Abba." The Gemara says, "Ein lecha ketz megula mizeh." You don't have any explicit manifestation of the end of days more than this phenomenon. Shenar, it says in Yecheskel, the same idea that we just saw. "Vatem harei Yisrael, anafchem titenu prichem tisu lami Yisrael." You mountains of Israel, you shall give your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they will soon be coming. So essentially, the Gemara is saying when you see that produce will grow in abundance in Eretz Yisrael, that is an indication that the Mashiach is coming soon. That's the greatest sign that the case at the end of days is coming. And this is exactly what Rashi says in source number 10, because she takes Eretz Yisrael peria, when the land of Israel gives forth its fruit, be'en yafeh, in a generous manner, az yikrava kates. It means that the end is near. Ve'en lecha kates megula yoter. And there is no greater sign of the end of days than that. So these are all signs that even if you subscribe to a Haredi point of view that the state of Israel is not a positive thing, you can't deny that all these prophecies are coming true. The land of Israel is being rebuilt. The produce, there is tons of produce being grown in Eretz Yisrael. People in the streets everywhere, cities being built. This is an amazing, amazing fulfillment of all these prophecies that regardless of your religious worldview of the state of Israel today is something which you can't deny is coming true. And of course, the day that that began to take the form that it is today is Yom HaTzmaut, meaning the day that the Jews declared Israel to be a state is the day that we had free reign to begin to build the state the way that we wanted without having to be subject to the rules and regulations of another empire or another dominion of the British or the Ottomans or the Turks, the Muslims, again, whoever ruled Israel for the past 1,000 years. Today, with the state of Israel, we have a Jewish government where we get to decide our destiny. And since 1948, the state has flourished. The state has taken off. And that's part of the significance of this day, that even though after the day of Yom HaTzmaut, war was declared for a few months by the Arabs, but what remains is not the war. What remained is the declaration that took place on Heiyar, which has, through the last 70 or so years, has essentially allowed our state to flourish and become a leader in many ways in the world and many other areas as well, as we'll see in just a minute. So that is part of the important miracle of Yom HaTzmaut that we're celebrating on the miracle of the state of Israel that we're celebrating Yom HaTzmaut. And if we go on, you can see one or two other points before we conclude. The Pnei Halacha says in source number 11, after so many years, and the word of Hashem was not fulfilled, that Hashem said there's going to be redemption. There was a tremendous desecration of Hashem's name in the world. The Sonei Yisrael, and the haters of the enemies of the Jewish people already decided that the chances are lost, so that the Jewish people would return. That was essentially part of the Christian faith, was that the Jews were not going to return to the land of Israel. And now we see that the tide has turned, and now we're coming back. Chazal had extreme things to say about the miracle of Kibbutz Galiot, the ingathering of the exiles. The day of Kibbutz Galiot is as great as the day that the heaven and earth were created. And this is another point that we see today, again, regardless of ideology, that's coming true. And that's where Malamed says, "V'hine ira hanes." The miracle has taken place. Dvar Hashem come. The word of Hashem has taken hold. V'hayaza kiddush Hashem gadol v'nora. An amazing, amazing sanctification of God's name. Shalach v'itatzein v'mechad sheshet hayamim, which got even greater and stronger during the six-day war. Eitz shecharenu at Yerushalayim, the time that we freed Yerushalayim, v'arim ha'kadoshot, the holy cities, Yudav Shomron, Chevron, and the other places. Amazing, amazing Kiddush Hashem that we have from Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, and especially the idea of Kibbutz Galiot. Again, regardless of your ideology, Haredi, Dati Lumi, Chiloni, you cannot deny that the prophecies of Kibbutz Galiot, of bringing back all the Jews from around the world, are taking place in our time, slowly, slowly, little by little. And he says, Ramalam continues, the more that we strengthen ourselves with settling in the land, then achzor b'tshuva shleima, and return to Hashem in complete repentance, so too the difficulties of the time of Mashiach will become sweeter and easier. And the difficulties, chavalim are the difficult times on the straits, will come with sweetness, meaning it'll be a little bit easier than it would have been otherwise. That's based on the Gra, who writes in his Sefer Kol HaTor about the redemption. That's what he writes. That this type of redemption, the sages have said, Kach igulatam shel Yisrael. This is the nature of the redemption of the Jewish people. B'tchilat kima kima, little by little at the beginning, kol ma she'olechet tirabah v'holechet. And the more that comes, little by little, the greater that it gets, the greater the redemption becomes. And that's essentially what we're seeing today. Little by little, the state is being built. The Jews are coming back to their land. The cities are being built. The produce is increasing. And this is the amazing miracle of Medina Yisrael that we celebrate on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. That's another point to consider. So again, we have a number of points about the greatness and the importance of Medina Yisrael and Yom Ha'atzma'ut. I want to mention one more point before we conclude. The next point I wanted to mention, this is mentioned by Rav Ovadia in source number 12 in Yabia Omer, in his tshuva about Hal and Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Another fascinating and amazing point. He says, I won't withhold that despite all the challenges of the state of Israel, all the difficult points, there are great lights, and we cannot deny, we can't ignore them. The state of Israel is the center of Torah for the entire world, both physically and also, as we see today, virtually as well. Okay, in many ways, the people that are using virtual technology today to teach Torah across the world come from the state of Israel as well. And thousands of special bachurim of young men and young women are learning, the best of our children are learning oskim b'Torah, are studying Torah yomim v'layla, day and night, b'yeshivot ha'kedoshot, in the holy yeshivot. V'ator mechazer al-achsanya shel, and the Torah goes back to the place which hosts it. She'ein lecha Torah ketorah Eretz Yisrael, because we know from Chazal there's no greater type of Torah than the Torah that comes from the land of Israel. Of Yerushalmi, and it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaviva alai kat katana sheoseka b'Torah b'Eretz Yisrael, misanhedrin gedola shebechutz la'aretz. Hashem says, it's more dear to me when you have a small group of people studying Torah in Eretz Yisrael, more than the greatest Sanhedrin, the greatest Beit Din, the greatest court in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so a few more minutes. So Rav Avadia is saying here that even if a small number of people are studying Torah in Eretz Yisrael, it's greater than a great number of people in Chutz La'aretz. And today, the amazing miracle is that we have more people studying Torah in Eretz Yisrael than the rest of the world. An amazing, amazing thing. Rav Schechter from Yeshiva University also highlights this point in his discussion about the importance of Yom Ha'atzma'ut. And that's, again, another part, component of the state of Israel allowed for all this. Yom Ha'atzma'ut and Medina Yisrael allowed for the development and the growth of yeshivot and so many people studying Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and they even fund many of the yeshivot in small amounts. Another great, great miracle that we have what to thank Hashem for on the day of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, the day of the beginning of the state of Israel. So that's essentially where we stand today in terms of the importance of Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Does anybody have any other questions? Before I wanted to share with you just a short couple clips from a video before we conclude. Before that, see one question here in the chat box. How do you understand the current matzav in light of these amazing prophecies? So that is a terrific question. I've given a couple shiur on this topic in the past couple weeks. The answer is that we don't really know. Okay, we don't really know. Everybody who discusses these questions really doesn't know exactly what the significance of these current times are. All that I can say is that it's clear that Hashem is trying to show us some sort of important message by what's happening to the entire world. Part of the message that I can tell you that I see is the fact that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in charge, that a small little virus that you can't even see can basically take over the entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's running the show, even when you can't see him. And even great countries and modern technology and the fact that we think that we own the world, Hashem is showing us today that that is not necessarily the case, and he's the one in charge. And perhaps this is a continuation of the miracle of Medina Yisrael that we've seen, that Hashem basically shows us who runs our country. And perhaps this is preparation for the final Geula. I saw in one of the booklets somebody put out about this, our matzah today of the corona, that there are some midrashim somewhere that say that there's going to be some great devastating magifa, plague or epidemic that's going to conquer the entire world shortly before the time of the Geula. In Chazal or in time, apparently, do say there is such a thing toward the end of days. I don't know what to make of that. All I can say is that perhaps Hashem is preparing us mentally for the final Geula in some form through what's happening now, And we have to basically say that we are committed to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in whatever way we can and recognizing his hand in the rest of the world. Who is the author? I see somebody wrote in the chat box. Who is the author of the Nevuah prophecies? I don't know exactly what your question is. Okay, you know what? You can write in the chat box afterwards exactly what your question is. The Nevuah prophecies, do you mean the ones that we saw before? Ah, okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, that question was for Zmira, who's not here right now. She's out while I'm here. The author of the book that Zmira spoke about that has a lot of these discussions of these prophecies is Reb Shmuel Eliyahu. It's called HaNevuah in Hebrew, and it's written by Reb Shmuel Eliyahu, which basically discusses with statistics many of the points that we discussed here and that Zmira discussed before. Okay, very quickly, I want to share with you a couple of minutes from a clip that illustrates some of the points that we just discussed. If you give me 1 second here, I'm just going to pause the share for 1 second and then I'm going to share again.
Jewish people in Israel today, is it random, is it a coincidence, or is it destiny? What's happening in Israel today is the culmination of Jewish history. For almost 4,000 years, the Jewish people have been living on faith. Faith in prophecies given thousands of years ago. Promises that seem irrational, promises that seem almost impossible. Every prophecy dependent on the next. If one isn't true, none of them are true. Every single one of them is coming to pass in our lifetime. Every single one of them. The first promise to
that it was a desolation. Nothing grew here.
The land would lay desolate, and your foes who dwell upon it will be desolate. Now, to understand the impossibility of that promise, you have to understand the geographic map of biblical Israel. All the ancient pathways cross through Israel. Every empire throughout the last 2,000 years tried to settle the land of Israel. Babylonia, the Persians, the Medes, the Greeks, the Romans, the Ottomans, the British, all of these empires with all of their wealth and all of their resources tried, and all of them failed.
So you think land is land. Either it will be fertile or desolate. Either it will bear fruit or not. But the land of Israel plays by an entirely different set of rules.
Then we're told that when the Jews return to the land of Israel, the land will start to flourish again. It'll blossom.
Just as the people have been revived, the land has been revived. The land of Israel responds to the people of Israel.
The land didn't change, it returned to itself. The blood rushed to its cheeks and the color returned to its eyes. The fruit had a vibrance of color like it hadn't in thousands of years. And the Jewish people, we've returned to ourselves as well. We're finally tending the soil and working the land once again.
It's a living miracle. Those people who spent their whole lives irrigating and digging an oasis out of this desert.
Gathering of the exiles, it's the most prophesied event in the Bible. It's mentioned over 40 times. Unprecedented in history. Never before has a nation been scattered across the world and then gathered to its ancient homeland. And yet every single prophet mentions this miraculous feat that will happen. Behold, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, the pregnant and the birthing together. A great congregation will return here.
And now they have been returned to the land. And the land is still carrying the names of the great history of this people. It's unbelievable.
Today in Israel, you see universalism. Jews from Ethiopia, Africa, Asia, North America, South America, Russia, the entire world has now returned to the land of Israel. The prophets tell us that the Hebrew language will eventually be revived.
When? Gotten used to it. It's Jewish history. It's all supernatural.
We were given these visions and promises thousands of years ago for our time and for our generation. Every single promise has come to pass, and the challenges we face today are part of a greater plan. Biblical destiny, human destiny, is unfolding today in Israel. A worldwide movement is growing stronger every day, and it is your opportunity to join the greatest revolution in human history, Israel.
Okay, just going to stop the video for a second and conclude here. Are you all still with me, just to conclude here and finish up? All still hear me? Yeah, okay, let's just finish up here. So I think that video from thelandofisrael.com illustrates a lot of the points that we were saying in really an amazing, amazing way. So just to conclude with the last source, if you have the source sheet, so essentially, the point that we have for Yom HaTzmaut is that we want to celebrate and thank Hashem for everything that's happened. And that's what we see in the last source or two. I think we'll just summarize, just for lack of time. We have to finish up here. That the Metzudat David says, and the Gemara says about Chizkiyahu, that if you don't basically thank Hashem for the miracles that took place, then you won't be able to continue to merit more miracles. Okay, I'm sorry, I couldn't get the sheet right now on my computer, but if you have the source sheet with you, basically the last couple of sources about Chizkiyahu HaMelech and the Metzudat David basically say that the more that we thank Hashem for the miracles that he's given us, the more miracles that Hashem will give us. So our job on Yom HaTzmaut is to thank Hashem for all the wonderful things that he's given us here in Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, the kibbutz galiot, the produce, the fruit, the learning Torah, the cities, the building up of the land, and Bezrat Hashem, hopefully, the current matzav also. They say that the current matzav as well is, Israel is one of the safest places to be during the current time. Hopefully, what's going on now will pass very, very shortly, and we will hopefully be able to continue to celebrate the rest of the vision of the prophets, of the Nevi'im, and the complete Geula b'mehera v'yameinu. Thank you very much. If anybody's interested in further sources on this topic, so I'll send Zmira my article. The chat box, you can see the article that I wrote about it a couple of years ago. Yashar Koach, everybody.